Live from NPR News, I'm Dale Willman. After working overnight, the Senate today is continuing debate on a sprawling health care, climate change, and tax bill. In order to pass the measure, Democrats are using a procedure known as reconciliation that requires votes by all 50 of their party members. Ed Markey of Massachusetts says he's excited about what the bill would mean if it becomes law.
On wind, on solar, on all electric vehicles, a climate bank, environmental justice for millions of black, brown, indigenous people in our country. Today is a great day. It's a great beginning.
So far, Democrats have voted down more than a dozen Republican amendments aimed at blocking the legislation. Chinese military drills around Taiwan are drawing to a close today. The drills have been unprecedented in scope and proximity to the self-governed island. They were a show of force after House Speaker Nancy Pelosi angered Beijing with an unannounced visit to Taiwan last week. NPR's John Ruich has more.
Chinese and Taiwanese warships sailed in close proximity in the Taiwan Strait ahead of the scheduled end of the four-day exercises. Taiwan's defense ministry posted video online of vessels operating within a few hundred meters of each other. It said China was simulating attacks at sea and flew drones near outlying islands controlled by Taiwan. As the exercises wound down, Taiwan's transport ministry said it was gradually resuming flights near areas where the Chinese military drills were taking place. The South China Morning Post reports that some 300 international flights had to divert each day to avoid the drill areas. John Ruich, NPR News, Shanghai.
As the war in Ukraine drags on, Ukrainian forces are striking behind the front lines in Indo-Russian-held areas, especially in the southern regions of that country, where a Ukrainian counteroffensive is anticipated. NPR's Tim Mack has more on how Ukraine is targeting Russia's logistics capabilities.
In his daily address, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky said their forces had achieved, quote, powerful results with this strategy. He said, quote, every strike on the enemy's ammunition depots, on their command posts, on clusters of Russian equipment, saves the lives of Ukrainian military and civilians. This echoes a British intelligence assessment that said that the Ukrainian military was targeting bridges, ammunition depots, and rail links with increasing frequency, in particular in the areas near the strategic city of Kherson in the south, so as to disrupt Russia's ability to resupply its forces. Tim Mack, NPR News, Kyiv.
Israeli officials say its forces have killed a senior Islamic Jihad commander during an airstrike on an apartment building in a crowded Gaza refugee camp today. It was the second targeted attack since Israel launched its latest military offensive against the military group on Friday. The Iran-backed organization has fired hundreds of rockets into southern Israel in response to the attacks. Gaza's ruling Hamas group has so far stayed out of the fighting. You're listening to NPR News. The British Defense Ministry says at least 10 Russian generals have been killed in action since Moscow launched its invasion of Ukraine. A new intelligence report says the loss of high-level officers is weakening Russia's military, as NPR's Brian Mann reports.
Military experts say the poor performance of Russia's army in Ukraine has been surprising and shocking. One factor, according to a new report released by Britain's defense ministry, is the high rate of death among Russian generals. The report concludes at least 10 generals have died on the battlefield in Ukraine. At least six other top Russian commanders have been dismissed and replaced by the Kremlin, apparently for their poor performance. According to British officials, that instability in military command is, quote, likely contributing to Russian tactical and operational difficulties. Analysts at the Institute for the Study of War tell NPR it could take years for Moscow to replace officers lost in Ukraine. Brian Mann, NPR News.
Officials in Cuba say a lightning strike set off a fire at an oil storage facility Friday night, and it's now burning out of control. Four explosions and flames have injured at least 121 people, and 17 firefighters are still missing. A nearby neighborhood has also been evacuated. The accident at the facility in the city of Matanzas comes as Cuba struggles with fuel shortages. The Jacksonville Jaguars finally have a player in the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio. Tony Boselli was among eight players enshrined yesterday. He was a five-time Pro Bowl selection and three-time All-Pro left tackle for the Jaguars, but his career was cut short by injuries. I'm Dale Willman, NPR News.